When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory, not you. ZD. I don't know who I am. We're the same person.
So Sometimes it works out like that.
I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue, and hopefully we can keep our identity straight on this particular podcast.
You know, we did get a question when we were at an event one time. They were like, so which one of you is the talent?
Which one of you is the daughter?
That
hasn't happened.
No one really asked us that question.
But it would be nice if you did.
Yeah. So, you know, they're like, oh, so which one of you is the talent? Which one of you, like, manages things? And we're like, well... You know, even though I am kind of the manager, I think objectively I'm kind of the talent too, right?
I think we're both the talent.
Okay, anyway.
Well, it's not like somebody just sits behind the scenes or something and does paperwork. Yeah.
No, that I would like to find that person.
If
you know someone who would do that, that'd be great.
That would work out really well.
Okay, today we're going to talk about the construction and finishing of knit garments. We're going to try not to get off on too many tangents here, but...
We say this at every...
Yeah, we do.
Every other podcast, but okay.
There is about 14,000 people, though, in the self-sewn wardrobe group at the moment. And I see a lot of people finishing knit garments wrong. And, you know, when I say wrong.
Unsuccessfully.
Yeah, right.
Or sometimes I see them and like, they'll pass, but it could be a lot prettier.
Sure.
Right.
When you say unsuccessfully, sometimes it's not in a way that will have a lot of like structural integrity, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Things like that. So there's more than one way to finish a knit garment, but maybe we can give people some concepts and tools and information about knits that would help them to make an appropriate choice.
Right.
Considering their equipment.
Right.
You know, so knit fabrics are stretchy, right?
Yes.
Okay. And this came up in the group, too. Not all knits have a lycra or spandex content in them.
Correct.
Yes.
Which means they have less recovery, usually, too.
Right.
So often they're stretchier, but they also have better recovery than just, say, a knit that is, and when you say knit, you're talking about the weave.
Right.
Knit is not a type of fabric.
Yeah. So someone was asking about, I wore a silk jersey cardigan,
right?
And they were like, oh, so, you know, how stretchy is it? And I'm like, it's kind of stretchy. And someone mentioned, you know, that fabric has a mechanical stretch.
Right. And the word jersey describes whatever that stitch is.
So a mechanical stretch.
Or that weave, right.
Yeah. Mechanical stretch really means, oh, this stuff is knitted versus woven.
Woven.
So it is a less stable structure, which means it'll stretch a little
right.
bit, right? So you know there's woven silk fabric. Well, this silk fabric that my cardigan was made out of was
knitted.
Right?
Right.
And it had no spandex in it. It was 100% silk,
right.
Okay? So that's generally a jersey. So if you're using the word jersey just to describe any knit, I believe that is incorrect. And I know that some websites might also
The double knit.
Yeah.
Which in the olden days, that was like the spongy stuff. It's not so spongy, I don't think, anymore.
I think it can depend.
I don't know what they've done, but they've upgraded it. It's
right.
probably just the fibers, honestly.
Okay, but what I was saying before you brought up double knit is that some websites, I think, are calling, like, everything stretchy a jersey, too.
Yes.
Which I find to be incorrect, so...
Well, and I will say, I don't know if this has gotten straightened out or not, but at one time, the knit needles were called jersey needles.
That's right.
And I don't believe they do that Well, not everyone does it anyway.
Remember, well, we should talk about this too. We'll talk about needles just a tad, even though we have done that before. So, you know, you've got your fabrics that are knitted that maybe aren't quite as crazy stretchy as the fabrics that have spandex.
But they're not stable like a woven.
Yeah. They're not as stretchy as fabrics that might have spandex worked into them, which is inherently stretchy. The fiber itself,
it's
all on its own before it's made.
Rubber stuff.
Yeah, yes. Before it's made into fabric, it is stretchy. Right. And so
it's a rubbery long fiber.
Yes. So that is going to, you know, have more stretch. All these fabrics, though, you can't just know, oh, it has this much percentage of spandex, it's going to be this stretchy.
No. If somebody says, oh, you just need 2% spandex or 2% Lycra. Lycra is the
brand name.
And what's the other one that Europe uses?
Elastane.
Elastane, yes. So those are all basically spandex.
Right.
Because it says it's 2% Lycra, means nothing as far as stretch and recovery.
Yeah,
it's just giving you fiber content. That's
now,
all it's doing.
If a website says this has this much percentage of spandex or Lycra and it has a 20% stretch or a 30% stretch or a 70% stretch, you should be able to trust that.
Right.
And that's generally what a pattern will ask you for. Right. They say, please use a fabric with this much stretch.
Right. Well, so to repeat or you know, say that in a way that I hope everybody can understand. So if you have a description of a fabric and it says it's 2% Lycra and it has a 50% stretch, that's what it has. It has a 50% stretch.
There you go.
And then you see another description of another fabric and it says it's 2% Lycra and it is a, you know, four-way or all-way stretch or whatever, but does not say a percentage. You cannot assume it has the 50% stretch like the one that it was stated in.
Yeah, you have to.
You either have to do it yourself or
get a swatch
or call
ask
those
company.
You know, a lot of times if it's an online company, you can email them and they'll let you know.
So I want to get into the specifics now of areas of a garment. Okay. Let's first. I want to talk about necklines. This is where I see a lot of I hate to use the word failure, but a lot of. Confusion, and I just picture like the cloud above the Charlie Brown characters' heads. People are upset, you know, about necklines.
Right.
On a knit, when you cut that neckline, it's generally like rounded somewhat somewhere, right?
Well, it could be a V-neck.
It could be a V-neck, but it's got some bias incorporated, right? It's not just cut on the straight.
Not on the straight grain.
And I know this might be confusing to some people because they may have heard in their lives, well, knits don't fray. You know, you don't have to finish knits or something like that. And that can work on some knits on like a straight hem occasionally. That's not going to work on a neckline. And what do I mean by not work? It's not going to keep its shape.
Basically, it's not going to keep its shape. It's not probably going to recover properly. It might not fray. It might just roll.
Or just so you all, I saw somebody in the group say that.
It can become unknitted.
Yeah, I saw somebody in the group say that a knit will never, ever fray. And I'm like, no, just because you knit something doesn't make it like...
You can actually grab...
It will come unknitted,
like you
said.
You can actually grab a thread and like undo the whole thing if you get the right thread.
Yeah, I mean, they were like, well, you know...
Now, this is coming from Mallory, the infamous no-hemmer of my knit shirts.
This is coming from me. Now, we'll get to hems, which are a little different than necklines. So on your necklines, you're going to have to do some type of finishing, right?
Yes.
And like Mom said, you guys don't know this, but I had to sneeze really bad. And she real quick made sure that I was going to mention this. On a knit neckline, sometimes you want the neckline to stretch. If it's very close to your neck and it has to stretch over your head.
So the neck hole is smaller than your head.
Yep. And then sometimes on a knit, the neckline is so large that there's no need to stretch it
to
put it on.
Like what I would call a ballerina neck, which we know that sort of came from a leotard because it had to come up over your hips.
Yep. That's right. Or I'm like looking at you right now and you just have like a kind of a scoop, a wide, yeah, deep scoop.
I have like a big, huge jewel neck scoopy thing. It's my own shape. I don't know what it is.
And your head's going to go through it without stretching. Right. Okay. So it is possible if you want, if the neckline is large enough on your knit garment, you could finish it with a woven. You could finish it with
bias. I do all the time. Yes. Right.
ZD is a big, she does this a lot. She loves it. It's really cute. She uses stripes on the bias. So, you know, makes cute. A cute shape, etc. But if you need to finish that neckline and you want it to stretch, you can't treat it like a, you can't treat the knit garment like a woven garment.
Yes, you can't stitch it with a woven stitch, so to speak. Yeah, which would be a straight lock stitch.
That's right. You're going to have to use a zigzag. Mm-hmm. Of some kind. You can use a fabric band. You can turn it under. You can do all sorts of things with that. But if you want it to stretch, let's pretend like you want the band to stretch. Let's leave out that woven, you know, finishing.
And you want it to recover, too.
And recover, yes. Stretch and recover as you wear it, as you move in it. If your kid pulls down on your neckline.
Now, on some children's clothing, because kids have such big heads in mm-hmm. comparison to their bodies, you may want to put a snap or something at the shoulder. Yeah. Right. You may, I mean, just because you don't want the size, you have to actually make the neck hole to get it over their big head. You don't want that, you know, big and floppy around their neck because it's just not, you can't get it small enough.
So one option is a fabric band. Mm-hmm. Okay. A fabric band for the neckline. And your pattern should include instructions for this fabric band. If you're self-drafting, and you're playing around or you're doing whatever, you need to make the band shorter than the neckline generally, okay? What this does, what this means is you'll stretch the band as you sew it to the neckline, and it should ideally sort of lay flat then.
Right. That way it cups in towards the body,
that's
basically.
Right. So it lays flat, so it's not like you get some gathering look or anything, unless you want that. And what that has done is it's brought that knit in and up, you know, and so it needed to be a little smaller. And what's your, you would start off at 80%?
Well,
I know it's
you,
not
you
a hard,
you want to know what I really
rule.
Do?
What
let
do you
me,
really
let
do?
Let me tell you, everybody, what I really do. Because it usually turns out to be it's 15 or 20% smaller than the neckline.
Okay.
What I really do is I decide what size band I want with the width.
Yes.
Okay. And I lay my garment down, and I lay down the neckline.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take that piece of fabric that I have cut larger than I need, longer than I need. I fold it over just like I would fold it over. And then I start placing it on my neckline.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what you have. You're going to wind up with the side you sew on is going to actually wind up being a bigger circle than the side that's folded.
Yes.
Yes, because it's stretched onto the garment. So what I do is I get the inside size of what my neck hole's going to be.
Right.
Okay, by laying it down,
okay,
which makes it shorter.
That's right.
So that's how I do it, okay? And I just cut it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then when I go over and sew it, I'm taking a little more out.
Yeah.
And I have really never had that fail. So I don't measure. I lay the I'm laying the fabric on the garment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the inside circumference
of
that band.
You like line up. When you have a neck band, you know, it gets folded in half lengthwise generally. So you have like a fold. So you sort of lay your fold along the raw edge of your neckline? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's raw edge to raw edge.
Okay.
But so say it winds up being a half inch.
But it's
wide, smaller.
Yeah, you've made it smaller.
It winds up being a half inch wide. Right. So I lay it almost like it's where it's going to be sewn.
Uh-huh.
But I make sure that inside is going to lay fat, that inside circle, that folded circle.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you will have a gap.
Right.
Okay. On the outside circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I cut it that much less.
Right.
If that makes sense. I mean,
we might have to video that.
That might have to be a drawing or a video. But I do not use a measuring tape.
Okay. Well, I'll say sometimes I use a measuring tape. Okay. And I will do about 85, 80.
Yeah. Depending. Usually it's 15 to 20% you're whacking
right.
off.
Yeah. So it has to be smaller. And people are like, well, I've been getting a lot of people being like, oh, don't, you know, tell me what to do. And don't tell me to use a 3-thread, you know, narrow or whatever.
That's right.
And, you know, so we're trying to really justify ourselves here. If you don't make the neckband smaller, it's going to stand up.
Right.
Okay. So you want it to lay flat.
And it's going
to
look like you made it.
Right.
And you didn't know what you were doing.
Probably not going to look quite right. So that's one option. Another option is to fold over your raw edge, like wrong mm-hmm. sides to wrong sides, and do a cover stitch on a cover stitch right. machine. If you want to do that, like fold over and use a sewing machine, mm-hmm. I'd really recommend using some type of elastic in there, like a clear elastic first. Do you, or would you ever just turn over a knit neckline and double needle it?
Let me look. Oh, I've got to serge though.
That's a cover stitch, yeah.
Probably not.
I have found that the double needle, right. while it's appropriate for knits, it yeah. doesn't give the same type of stretch.
Yeah, I don't. I think I would have put something in there, yes. So I haven't done it in such a long time. I'm so sorry.
I know. Well, that's what, you know, yeah. we do a lot of our knit finishing on sergers, you know. But one of my favorite ways to finish a neckline without a serger is to zigzag on some elastic. Right. I don't stretch it at
right.
all.
You don't stretch it at all.
And then turn it under.
So you're using that for your recovery.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, you don't want it to look gathered.
No, you don't want to overstretch it. And now turning things under, like you were describing with the fabric band, mm-hmm. that gives you some hold.
That pulls it in just a little bit, too, yes.
Because, right, your inner circle yep. is smaller
That's
than
right.
the outer circle. Right.
But that elastic you're putting on is probably only a quarter inch or 3/8
That's right, small elastic.
Biggest. Right.
Even, maybe even clear elastic yeah. sometimes.
I would probably use clear elastic if it was just a shirt.
So if you have a serger, you can
now,
serge.
If it's a swimsuit, well, I'm going to use the swimsuit cotton, uh-huh. you know, elastic.
That's a really great thing to get, you know, a swimsuit, you're like, man, I want this baby to stay up, you
right.
know?
And you know, when it's wet, you want
right.
every edge finished with elastic.
Right.
Yes.
So you've got that finished with elastic. You could serge on the elastic in just gently around your neckline and then turn it and zigzag it or double needle it.
You know,
if you want.
When I'm at the pool or the beach or on the boat or the paddleboard and I see someone in a swimsuit and it's gotten wet and it's hanging on their neck or their back or something like that, I'm pretty sure it's an inexpensive suit that they did not put elastic, you know.
Everywhere.
And then that seam. Right, right. You know, it looks fine when it's dry.
Right.
But you get in trouble when it gets wet.
The other thing you can do, and this is great with a sewing machine too, I think, is like a knit binding.
Yes.
Kind of, where you have just like a strip of knit. Mm-hmm. And I will gently stretch it. Around the...
Now, she's stretching only the band.
Right.
She's not... So when people say, oh, don't stretch your knits, well, we stretch them all the time in certain applications. So she's taking the band and giving it a slight tug, mm-hmm. sort of, onto the neck, trying not to distort
so,
the neck.
And right. I will often do a little bit more of a stretch around the curviest part of the neckline.
And that's what you're supposed to do.
And that's what my mommy taught me to do. Yeah. Okay, no. So I will do that. You can apply this with a zigzag or with a serger.
Now are you applying one layer, right, and folding over? What
okay,
are you doing?
I've done both. I've done where I kind of like do a double layer and flip it up and top stitch mm-hmm. it.
Right.
Or I've done one layer and then folded it over.
Then you can stitch on that fabric or you can stitch outside of that fabric
or you can
do a double needle and stitch one needle on the band and one off the band.
So the band can like kind of show. It can
right.
kind of flip up if you want it to. Or if you want to do, there's like this kind of binding technique. It's sort of, I think it's called like a French binding technique. And you see this on a lot of shirts. You do fold the binding in half. So you got three raw edges that you're like zigzagging together, right? And then you understitch.
Right.
So you understitch your seam allowances to the binding, and then you fold that under, and then you do one more line of top stitching. So on the outside of your
garment.
And
where are you top stitching?
You top stitch on your on the edge of your binding through your neckline.
Okay, that's what I was
So on the outside of your garment, you're going to have one line of top stitching.
Right. And but it's going to be on the band.
Yeah, but well, no, you don't see the band. The band is hidden.
Oh, okay. You've turned it under, like
turned
a facing.
It under. Yes,
okay.
It's almost It's like a very small
facing.
Well,
I was thinking of the different one.
Right. Okay. So then, when you open that neckline and you look inside your shirt, you see two layers of stitching because you understitched that.
Right.
So what these all have in common is they are honoring the stretch factor, the stretch characteristic of knit fabrics. If you try and use a technique for a woven, you're going to wind up unhappy, I think. In the Easy Tee class, I recommend that's just a knit t-shirt, or excuse me, it's a woven t-shirt with like no shaping, barely, just on the side seams. It's the most basic woven shirt in the world.
Right.
I recommend just serging or overcasting the outside, turning it under, and straight stitching.
Now, what I will easily do on a knit is serge, do a three-thread narrow, serge on the raw edge, turn it under because I'm sort of using that almost as a guide to turn under. And I can top stitch that with some sort of stretch stitch on my sewing machine. Now, I'm going to say a tiny zigzag. And when I say a tiny zigzag, I don't mean one, you know, a one on your length. I mean a one on your width.
Right.
And you're probably at a two or a three on your length.
Yeah, I would say like at least a 2.5.
And when you stitch that, it almost doesn't even look like a zigzag.
So
it just looks like sort of like a wavy straight stitch.
But let's back up. Yeah. Why doesn't that woven technique work? Why doesn't it on our knit neckline, if we serge it and we turn it over and we straight stitch it and it ends up looking like wavy and it ends up, you know, not holding its shape or it ends up popping.
Well, it's going to pop at some point is what's going to happen probably.
Because
you're stretching the fabric will stretch and the stitching will not.
A straight stitch does not
It does not stretch.
So the stitches that we use on knits, they allow the fabric to stretch. They allow it to recover. And you will be more successful there. You can't just leave the neckline raw and then expect to be able to wear it many times.
Now, let me tell you about my raw finish that I've done, right? Mm-hmm. Is to cut the raw neckline and then cut a raw strip, just one layer, right?
Yeah.
Lay it on my neckline and just use a double needle or a cover stitch and just stitch that on right in the middle of that. So I've got these raw edges. I've got two raw edges around my neck and one raw edge that is down on the shirt. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to anybody
either. Do you
that's that raw look.
Do you slightly stretch that little strip?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So I just want to, you know, get this across to you. You got to use something in there that's helping with that stretch. And not all knits will like everything the same. Some knits don't recover as well, right?
And some knits you might try a technique on and you're going, this is not going to work. Test. If you have, I had a rayon and, viscose with Lycra. And I tried to put a band on it and I didn't like it. It was too flimsy.
The fabric was too flimsy.
Yeah, it was just too flimsy. I just, it looked okay, I guess. But I did not get what I wanted to get. I just didn't feel it looked finished.
Did you end up cover stitching the neckline?
I think I actually wound up serging it. Yeah, serging the edge and then turning it under and cover stitching
it. I love to cover stitch.
Pretty sure that's what I did.
Those
and I
knits.
Didn't put anything in it. I did not put elastic in it. It was my three-thread narrow was enough to give it some body.
Yeah.
And that's another reason to do that. Not because you're finishing that edge, but if you have sort of a flimsy knit like that and you do that three-thread narrow around there, it gives it some sort of body.
You know, and that's not something I do. You do that more than me.
Yeah, it gives it a body, though, that I like to work with. And
can feel it.
And I like how the fabric will turn.
Yes.
Because I stitch from the top and I can just turn it under and I'm turning under that exact allowance that the stitch is in.
Right. So when we say different knits will act differently, and then people might just like throw their hands up in the air and be like, oh gosh, you know.
The way it
well,
is.
It's yeah, it's true. And the different garments will act differently. I was making a princess line knit dress with sort of a jewel neckline. So the neckline was actually quite like there was a lot of neckline there. You know, it scooped way down. I don't have a lot of boobs, so I'm not showing any cleavage in this. It just looks, you know, it's a neckline I really like. And I put that dress on before finishing the neckline, and it was stretching way out and showing my bra. And I was like, the garment was heavy. It wasn't a t-shirt. It was a dress.
The garment was pulling on
and
you.
And it was a princess line dress, so it had these, like, kind of, like, the skirt, in essence, was gored, you know. So there was a lot of fabric hanging on it. So you know what? I kind of treated it like a swimsuit. I put quarter inch or 3/8 inch cotton swimwear elastic
in that neckline.
In the neckline. Yeah. And it ended up just
Had to beef it up. That's all.
It ended up laying nice and flat. It didn't look bulky, but it needed the strength because it had the weight pulling on it.
There were these knits in the 90s, like the late 90s. And I was doing a lot of costuming at that time in professional theater. And we called them growing knits.
Kept going and going.
But they were really cool to make certain things out of, okay? But we could not hang them up.
Uh-huh.
Because we'd come in and they were a different size, or the neck hole was bigger, no matter what we did. And, you know, I haven't seen any of those around, but they were real popular then.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what happened to that. They were loosely woven, and they would always be, like, really cool looking. And I remember making a lot of, like, 14th century, like, princess long dresses. Like,
yeah.
You know. But they grew. You could not hang them up. We would sort of roll.
We rolled them
and kept them in a dish pan.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
We rolled them and kept, you know, here's the princess dish pan. But,
well, this is great because these different characteristics of knits and the garments. We have just spent,
We actually put a drawstring in a neck at one point because it started growing.
It just kept going.
Well, these were long dresses, too, so there was the weight.
That's
what reminded me of it.
Uh-huh.
It was the weight.
So we spent about 25 minutes talking about necklines, and that's because
that's everybody's most difficult.
And I think it's the one where when someone's new to knits, it's the weirdest one to get used to.
I still don't understand, if you have never done this, okay, why you don't make yourself a little mini neckline.
Oh, yeah.
And practice
good idea.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Because it's, you know, you need to know how it's going to feel. You need to know what is the beef of it or not. You
right.
know, is that technique going to work or not?
Mm-hmm.
Make yourself a little mini neckline.
And this is another reason why
you have scraps.
This is another reason why we are really adamant about you following the directions on the pattern before you get, like, the hang of, you know, getting wild and woolly and breaking the rules.
Right.
Because they've drafted that neckband to work with a certain type
right.
of fabric.
Because, you know, you and I put two different kind of knits together all the time.
And we're sort of like, oh, I am familiar with this. And
right.
it's totally understandable to not be familiar with that
right
away. Like,
right.
duh, you know, that's okay. So it is a mystery before you get to work with a lot of different fabrics. So if you can follow the directions, it will help you, hopefully, to be as successful as possible.
So, do you think we should take a break now that we've made their minds mush
yes.
with all of this?
Yes, I think we should take a break.
Mallory, tell me all about your dream come true wardrobe planner.
I have been dreaming about creating a wardrobe planner for years.
Oh, no, since you were like 8 and started drawing with crayons.
Yes, I love to sew, and I love to write with paper products and pens and everything. And we have published a wardrobe planner. We have a couple of different options on our website. There is a universal wardrobe planner that you can purchase for $19.99 and print over and over again. It'll help you plan any project you wish. And then we also have themed wardrobe planners. And do you know what's special about those, Mom? What's special?
What?
They include some hand-drawn illustrations by yours truly for whatever we're doing in the self-sewn wardrobe group that month, like PJs or underwear or our month of planning.
Because we theme our months.
Yes. So you can tackle a new wardrobe section each month in order to build your perfect self-sewn wardrobe. So for more information about these, you can go to sewhere.com/planner and also check out the membership options, because the Universal Wardrobe Planner is included with the Backstitch and Straight Stitch and Zigzag memberships. So go to sewhere.com/planner.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, and we are back.
With Mallory's favorite subject.
Oh, hemming.
Finishing hems on knit garments.
Well, I was going to talk about shoulder seams first.
Okay, well, let's do shoulders then.
Let's talk about when you are...
Shoulders won't take as long because I'm going to make a whole lot of fun of you when we get to hems.
Well, real quick here. Shoulder seams on a t-shirt or something
any
like
knit
that.
Garment.
Any knit garment with a shoulder seam.
Talking about things that grow.
That's right. We love knits because they stretch around our bodies, right? They require less tailoring. You can do aerial yoga in them.
You can
sleep
in them.
Yes.
You can feel like you're wearing your jammies to the grocery store.
But we don't want our, like, entire front of our t-shirt to, like, end up, you know, all the way on the floor or something
like
that.
What I think of, too, is that when we make these waterfall cardigans.
Yeah.
And people don't stabilize the shoulders and they just get longer and longer and longer. Right.
Really waterfall.
Right.
So when you're up there in those in those shoulder seams, you need to stabilize it with something.
Yep.
And you can almost use, like,
almost anything that you can sew
That's
through.
That's right. So if your pattern says clear elastic, yes.
Yes.
Or ribbon.
Yes.
Or some twill tape.
Yes. Or you can even
use a scrap of
woven fabric. I even like it cut on the bias.
Well, cut on the bias, right. I really recommend because it wouldn't fray.
Right. It doesn't fray and you get a little bit of give like you would with your elastic.
So I think we can go through a few of these. I'm not a huge fan of clear elastic just because, like, I don't know why. I just don't like it as much in there.
I think it's because it can kind
crunchy.
Of go bad.
Yeah, yeah, it can go bad and get crunchy. It's okay.
I'm big on putting ribbon.
I like ribbon.
I like ribbon.
Now, for an active wear.
And the ribbon has to be in the stitching, everybody. You
well,
can't,
let's talk, we'll talk
so
about where
to
put it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're serging it, you can't, like, insert the ribbon under, you know, the knitted loop of the loopers.
No.
It has to be stitched through.
It needs to be. The needle has to stitch
right.
through it.
Absolutely.
So if the ribbon looks like it's, you know, not in the looper area, and it's but the needle's through it, and then the ribbon, like when I'm looking at my serger, my looper stitching is to the right,
right?
You know, and then there's mm-hmm. my needle, and my ribbon will go over to the left a little bit.
Right.
It's okay as long as the needle's stitching
right.
through it, right?
Right.
So, ribbon's nice and low profile. Cotton swimwear elastic is pretty thick.
It is. It's too. Sometimes it's too thick for some fabrics.
But sometimes
depends
it's
on
good.
Fabric.
Sometimes it's good for right. like my rash right. guard.
Well, I think twill tape too. Sometimes twill tape's a little heavy for
that's,
something.
In fact, I must say that's something that I have never used in a t-shirt. I just end up using ribbon.
I have used a lot of twill tape in costumes.
Yeah,
because you know it's hardy. So
right,
to speak.
it'll hold up to.
And I always have it out because that's how I tag costumes too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always there.
So really anything, but so don't worry though. This is one place where we maybe would tell you to break the rules. If you got a t-shirt pattern at home
now,
and you don't have any clear elastic, you know, you might be able to use
now,
ribbon.
Don't think you can cut a piece of stabilizer and stick it in there.
It has to last forever.
Okay, it has to last forever. So any sort of stable any, or like an interfacing, like a non-woven interfacing or anything, it won't work.
Right.
I mean, it needs to be have an integrity of its own by itself.
A durable good.
Right.
Now, I've never really used a strip of knit.
I haven't. I've always
because I want it
I've
to be stronger than that.
I've never used like a strip of the fabric. I don't think that's going to work.
I don't think
well.
It would compl- because no. really a shoulder seam. If I'm right. looking at mom here and she's got on this t-shirt. Now it's a dolman.
But let's put anything in
let's
there.
Pretend yeah. that it is not a dolman. And right. but I, you know, you that space from the edge of your neck mm-hmm. to your shoulder.
You want it to remain the same length.
It doesn't need to change ever.
No.
Whereas. Maybe like the width of your t-shirt needs to change when you eat and bend and,
right.
you know, row a boat or, you know, right. whatever. So that's what we don't want to change. Okay. Reinforcing that. You wouldn't want to reinforce the side seams of your shirt, right, Mom?
I can't think of when I've ever done that. I cannot think of an instance.
Unless it's some special pattern, because this is something that you brought up. A few times it's been mentioned, says, oh, well, patterns for knits always have negative ease.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like they always have to stretch mm-hmm. onto you. It's not particularly true.
It's not true
nope.
at all.
No.
Those t-shirts don't have negative ease.
Yeah. They.
Because, you know, here we go. It's a t-shirt because it's shaped like a T.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your body isn't.
Right.
So usually it's bigger than your body. Now, if it's a fitted garment, you know, and you use elastic if you're using like ruching in the side
sure.
of your or something like that, or you want to gather it,
mm-hmm.
That might be an instance where you do that. Another place you might put elastic is if you're adding a skirt to a knit, you know, you've
I wanted bodice, that to be its own section.
Right.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
your bodice is knit and your skirt is knit, or even if your skirt is woven, you need something there because the weight will pull.
Well, let's move
there.
On to that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just do that. So let's talk about adding on to a knit garment. I remember seeing all these t-shirt hacks, and I did a blog post about this, and it'll be like, just add this onto a t-shirt, just add this onto a t-shirt. And I see people, and they overstretch the t-shirt, or the t-shirt
yeah.
doesn't come back to its original shape after they've, like, gathered this skirt on. The knits react to weight in a
Absolutely.
Different way than the wovens. They're not as stable. So if there's all those, like, skater dresses around.
Yeah.
They don't have a gathered skirt, but a skirt nonetheless.
Well, some I think so. Do some of them
skater,
have some pleats?
I
are they
yeah,
all?
Yeah, but it's not a gathered.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know.
Right. No,
yeah.
they're usually not gathered.
But then there are dresses that have a gathered.
They're usually like a half circle skirt or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, and they're. I mean, I love those. You know,
yeah.
but I would definitely, when I'm stitching those pieces together. Just stitch through some elastic.
Yeah, you have to have something there.
I wouldn't. Now, here's where you don't stitch
well,
through.
Well, the one thing is you don't want a wonky looking waistline.
Right.
You know, you want
now,
it to be nice and straight.
Probably on this, you know, theoretical dress here, hypothetical dress, you don't want to stitch through ribbon. You do want it to be something that
yeah,
stretches.
Yeah, that needs to be elastic around your
yeah.
waist.
So elastic.
So if it's going around your body,
right.
let's make it stretchy.
Elastic is so wonderful in that it can both provide the stretch, but then also providing the recovery. So when
right.
we say stabilize, that's what we mean,
right.
you know, allowing the knit to recover back to its original shape.
You know, when we were talking about putting the ribbon or the stable, non-stretchy
uh-huh.
thing in the shoulder, we don't want it to stretch.
Right.
We're not looking for it to stretch.
Sort of like a neckline that's big enough to get your head through, right?
That's right.
It may not need to stretch.
Right.
So that's good. And then are we going to, now you can make fun of me about hems.
So I don't remember exactly when I tried to teach Mallory about knits and shirts, but she was making her own t-shirts in high school.
Maybe you never taught me. That's why I don't know how to
No,
hem
I tried.
Anything.
You just would not cooperate. You were not receptive, I'm
oh,
sure.
Okay.
So Mallory is always receptive enough to get it like as far as she wants to get it, and then she makes her own turn and does whatever she wants after that. So Mallory would make t-shirts, usually at the shop. This would happen when we had our shop, and she would sit there and she'd make, you know, zip herself up a t-shirt and think she was like glorious and wonderful, and she would act like she was trying it on so she would know, like, you know, where to hem it or whatever, and then she'd wear it. And then it would go in the laundry and she'd wear. This is when people say that their surging comes undone. You never. What did you ever do with those side seams?
That's right. I know that the 3TN works. I put a whole shirt together. Now, eventually, after wearing it several times. No, there's this one dress I had.
Well, did you ever do anything to those?
Do you remember
seams? Did you finish? I mean, did you knot off or anything?
No. I made this dress to go to Baby Loctac. You'll remember this dress. I looked so super cute in it. It had a top, and then it was kind of like this geometric-y pink pattern. I made a maternity top out of that stuff, and then I made it a spaghetti strap dress. I'll show you pictures. Made a spaghetti strap dress, so this pink fabric was in the spaghetti straps, and it was around the neckline and everything. And then it was an ITY knit, the pink, and I made a skirt out of it to go onto this top, and it just looks so nice. And I made it the day we left for Baby Loctac. Like,
and you didn't leave it in your car?
No, that's right. I took it to Baby Loctac. Yes, I took it. I made it.
One year she went with only the clothes she had on her back.
That's right. So I went to Baby Loctac in this dress, and I just didn't hem it. And I thought, I'll get to it. You know, I will. But it did kind of, it looked so nice. The ITY, there's a knit where if you cut it straight across, it doesn't fray very quickly. I put that thing in the washing machine, in the dryer. I wore it out again. I had a baby. I wore it again. I didn't hem it. Finally.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about now. Yeah.
Maybe an inch of my 3TN sort of came unraveled. And you know what I did before I wore it out one night? Came back over here, redid that little bit of the side seam, still didn't hem it, wore it out. Okay. And I should have just fray blocked it. You know.
I know.
So when is it okay to not hem knits?
When you're Mallory.
When you're Mallory. Okay. You might be able to get away with it with some knits. And just cut your knit, rough it up, you know.
Some of those really, really fine knits like that we've made t-shirts out of, we have purposely not hemmed them.
It's like if they're really tightly woven, knitted, you know.
Except that I do, like, somehow finish off the end of my side seam.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. Or you can just
I usually expect my clothing to stay, like, together when I wear it.
I'm just looking over there at those sergers. I think I got so excited because it wasn't fitting me because this was, like, after I had Zelda, you know. And then I put it on and I was like, I look smoking hot. Like, I wore, like, my nude heels and this was, you know, I just looked so cute. I was so ready to be cute. And, you know, wore it out. And I was like, oh, well, it's coming apart a little bit. And I should have fray blocked it. But yeah, so if it's a real tightly knitted knit,
yes,
you might be able to get away with not finishing that edge. And you know what? I think that the way I bound it was I did one raw edge to one raw edge of the binding to the raw edge of the neckline, flipped it over,
and then top-stitched it
and trimmed.
Yeah.
So there was unfinished. It was almost like a Hong Kong finish on the inside.
Right,
that's not a Hong Kong finish, but there was.
Well, that's the technique, though.
Yes, but that's the technique. But I'm just saying, in case somebody's like, a Hong Kong finish does not show on the outside. Yes, I know.
I have made garments with a Hong Kong finish showing on the outside.
Let me just.
When you have the seams on the outside.
Finish the thing. You know, so I trimmed that and it wasn't going to ravel on me. Right. And you can do this with bias, as in a Hong Kong finish, because it will not ravel. No one saw that raw edge. And, you know, they saw the raw edge on my legs that were looking smoking hot. And it looked, you know, it wasn't bulky. It was just cut. I've seen this in ruffles sort of and flounces.
Yes, and flounces with,
on like bathing suits and stuff. They'll just leave it.
They leave it raw.
Some companies.
Now, those are cut on the bias, too.
No, I'm talking about knits. Knits like that aren't finished.
But those flounces are cut on a bias.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not cut on the bias, so they don't fray.
No, but they are cut on the bias,
You're right, because they're on a curve.
A flounce is always on a bias, yes.
Right. Some of those companies will finish the raw edge of the knit by fusing something.
It feels like it has, like, glue on the back of it, or rubber or something
so
like
I don't
that.
Have
yeah,
that.
Some sort of finish.
Mallory doesn't do that.
The Lululemons does that on their.
Oh, my God. It is.
Legs.
10:52 on March 29th, and Mom said Lululemon correctly. Okay, I just have to tell you guys that mom's always like, what's that? Those Lululemon? Lululemon?
Lululemon? No, no, that's not what I say.
She'll get the LuLaRoe and the Lululemon. Like, and she,
you can't really mix those up in real life, let me tell you.
Mom is being like somewhat disdainful. She's like, I just make my own leggings, you know?
But the if I ever learn there's a machine where you can do that, like laser, I would, if I could laser cut. Yeah. A scallop. I will buy a laser to cut a scallop on my pants, and then however they back that with that,
yeah, or like
finish
on underwear and stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, so there are times when you don't have to hem and knit. Okay,
if you're Mallory.
If you're Mallory, if you do, there are lots of ways to do it. Hems don't often need to stretch.
Exactly. If
they
you
can.
If you have like a big flouncy shirt, the shirt bottom, you know, is 10 inches bigger than your hips and it's, you know, or bigger than any part on your body ever, you could do a straight stitch. Now, it won't look as pretty.
It may not, depending on the
you
knit.
Might not like how it looks, so you might be better off with that tiny, you know, that 1 or 1.5 width zigzag.
This is where I think it's okay to use some kind of fusible tape that takes the stretch out of your knit.
That's true.
Oh, it would have been okay to do that in the shoulder seams too. We didn't.
And
say
people
that.
Do that in their neck too. I don't particularly like those either. Yeah,
I don't like
neck.
It when it takes
either.
The stretch away.
Yeah.
When I need stretch.
Yeah, I know.
When people talk about doing that in a place where you need stretch, I'm like, how does it work?
There is a tape that leaves stretch.
Yes, yes, there is.
There is a tape that leaves stretch.
But sometimes I feel like they're talking about one that takes
You know why I don't like them? I have never not had them start to come off, like after they're laundered so many times, because I put my knits in the dryer, even though it's low, 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 you know, I will start at, and I melt my glue.
I just beat my knits to hell in the dryer, and only an inch of my 3TN came out after like 3 years. So okay, so you on your hem, if you want to stabilize that, or you can, you know, use a cover stitch or whatever, but like, once again, testing this is important. We're not going to go into all the ways to hem and knit because there are so many,
a lot,
and I know that, I mean, that could be its own podcast, probably, just hemming knits. And this will go for the bottom of, like, a cuff or a sleeve. I'm, like, touching my bicep
pant,
and my...
A pant.
Yeah.
Bottom of a pant.
Pant or something like that. If it doesn't require stretch, you can do something to make it more stable if you want. Yeah.
What I'm telling you, though, is that straight stitched is not as pretty in a knit.
No.
And I just think you're better off with a little bit of a zigzag.
I agree. Now, there are some real stable knits. And like that, okay, that silk jersey cardigan.
Yeah.
Barely any stretch.
Right.
And it was put together with a 4-thread, and it was top stitched.
Uh-huh.
And it looked fine.
Uh-huh.
There's barely any stretch to that fabric.
Right.
Even though it was a knit.
Right.
Okay, so it's almost like it was a cross between like you said, and a
test,
knit. It depends.
Try it. And then, that's what those scraps are for. That's why you have extra fabric left over when you're cutting out your garment, because you're supposed to be testing.
That's what those are for.
Yes.
So there's no waste garments. They're just
I
not
just
giving
pick
you
them up and
test.
Go put them by the machine.
Yep. Good idea. Okay. Well, I just want people to, you know, honor their knit fabrics. Think, how do I want this to stretch and recover? Ask questions, and we can help direct you.
I guess the other thing that if you use a stable stitch, on a knit, even if it is on that hem and it somehow gets stretched just in handling, the stitch won't pop, but your fabric will pull away from that stitch, and you wind up with a hole.
So that's once
that
again
happens too.
Like honoring that fabric with a serger or a zigzag, so that you can preserve it, you know. And we've talked about this before in the podcast, knits versus wovens, and how a lock stitch works with a woven, a straight lock stitch works with a woven, and the zigzag and the serger stitches can work with knits because they mirror the structure of the fabric.
Yeah, and your 3-thread narrow is not going to work, everybody, on your woven. Seems to just come up. That comes up all the time.
I hope we made it clear in that podcast, because I don't know
how we couldn't make it clear, but I get maybe we did.
I have had a couple of people like, I'm never changing from a 3TN again. And I was like, well, I guess if you never seam a woven on your shirt, you know, it's just the other stitches are good too. It's not the only one. Okay. Well, I think that we have covered or maybe we just confuse people even more about finishing knits, but we wanted to get across it's different than wovens and give you a few things to think about. And if you have any questions, you should go join the Facebook group over at facebook.com/groups/selfsewnwardrobe. Answer the questions and we will approve you. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.